This is the Power of Your Subconscious Mind podcast, a chapter-by-chapter reading of Joseph Murphy's The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, which is in the public domain. This book was written in 1963, and although the language is a bit arcane at times, the concepts are still cutting edge. I'm your host, Lane Smith Brown, and I am a coach at lanesmithbrown.com and the host of the Unleash Your Life podcast. I help my students apply the concepts in this book by helping them understand what is really playing in their subconscious mind. That's a mystery to most people, and why so many people read or listen to this book and don't get the results they want. Check out the links in the show notes or go directly to lanesmithbrown.com. The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, brought to you by WeirdHummingbirds.com. This book is in the public domain. Chapter 18, How Your Subconscious Removes Mental Blocks. What can you do if you are faced with a difficult situation and you cannot see your way clear? The solution lies within the problem. Every question implies its own answer. The infinite intelligence within your subconscious mind knows all and sees all. It has the answer and is revealing it to you now, but you must listen. You must follow the urgings of your subconscious mind with perfect confidence. Once you achieve this new mental attitude that the creative intelligence within you is bringing about a happy solution, you will find the answers you seek. Rest assured that such an attitude of mind will bring order, peace, and meaning to all your undertakings. How to break or build a habit. We are all creatures of habit. Habit is a function of our subconscious minds. We learn to swim, ride a bicycle, dance, and drive a car by consciously doing these things over and over, until they establish tracks in our subconscious minds. Then the automatic habit action of the subconscious mind took over. This is sometimes referred to as second nature, that is, the reaction of the subconscious mind to the thinking and acting that makes up our first nature. If we create our own habits, it follows that we are free to choose good habits or bad habits. If you repeat a negative thought or act over a period of time, you will place yourself under the compulsion of a habit. The laws of your subconscious is compulsion. How he broke a bad habit. When Bob J. came to me, he was close to despair. "I've lost my job, my wife, and my family to drink," he told me. "My wife won't even speak to me on the phone. She won't let me see our daughter. I don't know where to turn." "Have you tried to stop drinking?" I asked. "Of course I have," he said, "lots of times. And I have stopped, too, for a little while. Then I get an uncontrollable urge, and the next thing I know, I'm coming off a 2-week bender. It's terrible." Time and time again, these experiences had occurred to this unfortunate man. He realized that the binge drinking had become a habit, and he saw that he had to change the habit and establish a new one. However, his continued efforts to suppress his cravings made matters only worse. He repeated failures, convinced himself that he was hopeless and powerless to control his urges or obsession. This idea of being powerless operated as a tremendous suggestion to his subconscious mind and aggravated his weakness, making his life a succession of failures. I taught him to harmonize the functions of the conscious and subconscious mind. When these two cooperate, the idea or desire implanted in the subconscious mind is realized. His reasoning mind agreed that if the old habit path or track had carried him into trouble, he could consciously form a new path to freedom, sobriety, and peace of mind. He knew that while his destructive habit had become automatic, he had acquired it through his conscious choice. he realized that if he had been conditioned negatively, he also could be conditioned positively. As a result, he stopped thinking that he was powerless to overcome the habit. He achieved a clear understanding that there was no obstacle to his healing other than his own thought. Therefore, there was no occasion for great mental effort or mental coercion. The power of his mental picture. Bob began to make a practice of relaxing his body and getting into a drowsy meditative state. Then he filled his mind with the picture of the desired end, knowing his subconscious mind could bring it about the easiest way. He imagined his daughter giving him a welcoming hug and saying, "Oh, Daddy, it's so wonderful to have you home again." Regularly, systematically, he sat down and meditated in this way. When his attention wandered, he made it a habit to immediately recall the mental picture of his daughter with her smile and the scene of his home enlivened by her cheerful voice. All this brought about a reconditioning of his mind. It was a gradual process. He kept it up. He persevered, knowing that sooner or later he would establish a new habit pattern in his subconscious mind. I told him that he could liken his conscious mind to a camera, that his subconscious mind was the sensitive plate on which he registered and impressed the picture. This made a profound impression on him. His whole aim became to firmly impress the picture on his mind and develop it there. Films are developed in the dark. Likewise, mental pictures are developed in the darkroom of the subconscious mind. Focused attention. Bob understood that his conscious mind was like a camera, so he used no effort. There was no mental struggle. He quietly adjusted his thoughts and focused his attention on the scene before him until he gradually identified with the picture. He became absorbed in the mental atmosphere, repeating the mental movie frequently. There was no room for doubt that healing would follow. When there was any temptation to drink, he would switch his imagination from any thoughts of drinking bouts to the feeling of being at home with his family. He was successful because he confidently expected to experience the picture he was developing in his mind. Today, he is sober, reunited with his family, successful in his career, and radiantly happy. This is one of my favorite chapters. Such good stuff. Are you willing to do the work to get these kind of results? Are you willing to look at and let go all of your self-sabotaging behaviors? If so, then check out the show notes. She said a jinx was following her. For the last 3 months, I've been running into one roadblock after another. I really think I've got a jinx following me. Ruth B. was the founder of a firm that handles billing and record keeping for professionals. Her company was very successful at first, but then something changed. "I don't get it," she told me. "Suddenly it's as if all the doors that were opening to me are jammed shut." Time after time, I bring potential clients right to the point of signing on the dotted line. Then, at the 11th hour, they back out. "What's going on? How long have you had this problem?" I asked. "Like I said, about 3 months," she replied. "Since the middle of April." "Curious," I asked, "what makes you so sure about the date? Did anything in particular happen then?" She scowled. "Oh, you better believe it. Was making a pitch to a certain orthodontist. I'm not going to say his name, but if your kid has braces, you probably know him." I laid it all out. I showed him how much time and effort and money he'd save if my outfit handled all his clerical scut work. He saw the sense of it and made a verbal commitment. But when I mailed him the contract, first he stalled, then he backed out. I was fit to be tied. And after that, I probed. It started happening over and over, Ruth said. For a moment, she covered her eyes. I'm jinxed. There's no other explanation. Yes, there is, I told her. I explained that her irritation and resentment toward the orthodontist had given her a subconscious belief that other prospective clients would also back out on her. This belief set up a pattern of frustration, hostility, and obstacles. She gradually built up in her mind an expectation of the last-minute cancellations. Once this was impressed upon her subconscious mind, it began to bring about the conditions she dreaded. And each successive failure strengthened the conviction that she was doomed to fail. She had established a vicious cycle. As we continued to talk, Ruth began to see that the trouble was in her own mind. She realized that the cure was to change her mental attitude. She began to meditate in this manner. I realize I am one with the infinite intelligence of my subconscious mind, which knows no obstacle, difficulty, or delay. I live in the joyous expectancy of the best. My deeper mind responds to my thoughts. I know that the work of the infinite power of my subconscious cannot be hindered. Infinite intelligence always finishes successfully, whatever it begins. Creative wisdom works through me, bringing all my plans and purposes to completion. Whatever I start, I bring to a successful conclusion. My aim in life is to give wonderful service, and all those whom I contact are blessed by what I have to offer. All my work comes to full fruition in divine order. She repeated this every morning before going to a call on her customers. She also prayed each night before going to sleep. In a short time, she had established a new habit pattern in her subconscious mind. Soon, she was once again successful in convincing prospective clients to sign up with her company. All thought of being the victim of a jinx was forgotten. How much do you want what you want? The story is told that a young man asked Socrates how he could get wisdom. Come with me, Socrates replied. He took the lad to a river and shoved his head underwater. He held it there until the boy struggled for air. Then he let him go. Once the boy regained his composure, Socrates asked him, "What did you desire most when your head was underwater?" "I wanted air," the boy told him. Socrates nodded slowly. "When you want wisdom as much as you wanted air, when you were immersed in the water," he said, "you will receive it." In the same way, when you have an intense, sincere desire to overcome a certain block in your life, you come to a clear-cut decision that there is a way out. You confidently decide that that is the course you wish to follow. Then victory and triumph are assured. If you really want peace of mind and inner calm, you will get it. It doesn't matter how unjustly you have been treated, or how unfair the boss has been, or what a mean scoundrel someone has proved to be. All this makes no difference to you when you awaken to your mental and spiritual powers. You know what you want, and you will definitely refuse to let the thieves or the thoughts of hatred, anger, hostility, and ill rob you of peace, harmony, health, and happiness. Once you learn the habit of identifying your thoughts immediately with your aim in life, you cease to become upset by people, conditions, news, and events. Your aim is peace, health, inspiration, harmony, and abundance. Feel a river of peace flowing through you now. Your thought is the immaterial and invisible power, and you choose to let it bless, inspire, and give you peace. why he could not be healed. Alan S. was a field representative for a major textbook distributor. He was married with 4 children, but he was also involved in a secret relationship with another woman during his business trips. When he came to see me, he was nervous and irritable. He could not get to sleep without pills. He had high blood pressure and an assortment of internal pains that his doctor could not diagnose or relieve. To make matters worse, he was drinking heavily. As we quickly discovered, the cause of all this was a deep unconscious sense of guilt. The religious creed he had been brought up with was deeply lodged in his subconscious mind. It placed great stress on the sanctity of the marriage vows, yet he was violating them flagrantly and constantly. He drank to excess in a vain attempt to heal the wound of guilt. Just as an invalid might take morphine and codeine for severe pains, he was taking alcohol for the pain or wound in his mind. It was the old story of adding fuel to the fire. The explanation and the cure. He listened to my explanation of how his mind worked. He faced his problem, considered it carefully, and made a decision to give up his illicit relationship. He also realized that his drinking was an unconscious attempt to escape. The hidden cause lodged in his subconscious mind had to be eradicated. Only then would healing follow. He began to impress his subconscious mind 3 times a day, using this prayer. My mind is full of peace, poise, balance, and equilibrium. The infinite lies stretched in smiling repose within me. I am not afraid of anything in the past, the present, or the future. The infinite intelligence of my subconscious mind leads, guides, and directs me in all ways. I now meet every situation with faith, poise, calmness, and confidence. I am now completely free from the habit. My mind is full of inner peace, freedom, and joy. I forgive myself, then I am forgiven. Peace, sobriety, and confidence reign supreme in my mind. As he repeated this prayer, he was fully aware of what he was doing and why he was doing it. Knowing what he was doing gave him necessary faith and confidence. I explained to him that as he spoke these statements out loud, slowly, lovingly and meaningfully, they would gradually sink into his subconscious mind. Like seeds, they would grow after their kind. His ears heard the sound, and the healing vibrations of the words reached his subconscious mind and obliterated all the negative mental patterns that had caused his problems. Light dispels darkness. The constructive thought destroys the negative thought. He became a transformed man within a month. Refusing to admit it. If you are an alcoholic or drug addict, admit it. Do not dodge the issue. Many people remain alcoholics because they refuse to admit it. Your disease is an instability, an inner fear. You are refusing to face life, and so you try to escape your responsibilities through the bottle. As an alcoholic, you have no free will. You may think you have. You may even boast about your willpower. If you are a habitual drunkard and you assert boldly, "I will not touch it anymore," you do not have the power to make this assertion come true. The reason is that you do not know where to locate the power. You are living in a psychological prison of your own making. You are bound by your beliefs, opinions, training, and environmental influences. Like most people, you are a creature of habit. You are conditioned to react the way you do. Building in the idea of freedom. You can build the idea of freedom and peace of mind into your mentality so that it reaches your subconscious depths. The latter, being all-powerful, will free you from all desire for alcohol. At that point, you will achieve a new understanding of how your mind works. You will discover within yourself the infinite resources to back up your statement and prove the truth to yourself. 51% healed. If you have a keen desire to free yourself from any destructive habit, you are already 51% healed. When your desire to give up the bad habit is greater than your need to continue it, you will be amazed to discover that complete freedom is but a step away. Whatever thought you anchor the mind upon, the mind magnifies. Engage the mind on the concept of freedom, that is, freedom from the destructive habit, and peace of mind. Keep it focused on this new direction of attention. In doing so, you generate feelings that gradually pervade the concept of freedom and peace. Whatever idea you emotionalize in this way is accepted by your subconscious and brought to pass. The law of substitution. Realize that something good can come out of your suffering. You have not suffered in vain. However, it is foolish to continue to suffer. If you continue as an alcoholic, it will bring about mental and physical deterioration and decay. Realize that the power in your subconscious is backing you up. Even though you may be seized by melancholia, you can begin to imagine the joy of freedom that is in store for you. This is the law of substitution. Your imagination took you to the bottle. Let it now take you to freedom and peace of mind. You will suffer a little, but it is for a constructive purpose. You will bear it like a mother in the pangs of childbirth, and you will bring forth a child of the mind. Your subconscious will give birth to sobriety. Cause of alcoholism. The real cause of alcoholism is negative and destructive thinking. For as humans thinketh, so are they. The alcoholic has a deep sense of inferiority, inadequacy, frustration, and defeat. Often these are accompanied by a deep inner hostility. He or she has countless alibis to explain his or her drinking. But in reality, the sole reason is in the person's thought life. Three magic steps. The first step, get still. Quiet the wheels of the mind. Enter into a sleepy, drowsy state. In this relaxed, peaceful, receptive state, you are preparing for the second step. The second step, take a brief phrase that can be graven readily on the memory and repeat it over and over as a lullaby. Use the phrase sobriety and peace of mind are now mine, and I give thanks. To prevent the mind from wandering, repeat it aloud or sketch its pronunciation with the lips and tongue as you say it mentally. This helps its entry into the subconscious mind. Do this for 5 minutes or more. You will find a deep emotional response. The third step, just before you go to sleep, practice what Johann von Goethe, the great German poet, used to do. Imagine a friend or loved one with you. Your eyes are closed. You are relaxed and at peace. The loved one or friend is subjectively present and is saying to you, congratulations. You see the smile, you hear the voice, you mentally touch the hand. All is real and vivid. The word congratulations implies freedom. Hear it over and over until you get the subconscious reaction that satisfies. keep on keeping on. When fear knocks at the door of your mind, or when worry, anxiety, and doubt cross your mind, behold your vision, your goal. Think of the infinite power within your subconscious mind, which can generate your thinking and imagining. This will give you confidence, power, and courage. Keep on, persevere until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Review your thought power. The solution lies within the problem. The answer is in every question. Infinite intelligence responds to you as you call upon it with faith and confidence. Habit is the function of your subconscious mind. There is no greater evidence of the marvelous power of your subconscious than the force and the sway habits hold in your life. You are a creature of habit. You form habit patterns in your subconscious mind by repeating a thought or act over and over until it establishes tracks in the subconscious mind and becomes automatic. You have freedom to choose. You can choose a good habit or a bad habit. Prayer is a good habit. Whatever mental picture backed by faith you behold in your conscious mind, your subconscious mind will bring it to pass. The only obstacle to your success and achievement is your own thought and mental image. When your attention wanders, bring it back to the contemplation of your good or goal. Make a habit of this. This is called disciplining the mind. Your conscious mind is the camera, and the subconscious mind is the sensitive plate on which you register or impress the picture. The only jinx that follows anyone is a fear thought repeated over and over in the mind. Break the jinx by knowing that whatever you start, you will bring to a conclusion in divine order. Picture the happy ending and sustain it with confidence. To form a new habit, you must be convinced that it is desirable. When your desire is to give up the bad habit is greater than your desire to continue, you are already 51% healed. The statements of others cannot hurt you except through your own thoughts and mental participation. Identify yourself with your aim, which is peace, harmony, and joy. You are the only thinker in your universe. Excessive drinking is an unconscious desire to escape. The cause of alcoholism is negative and destructive thinking. The cure is to think of freedom, sobriety, and perfection, and to feel the thrill of accomplishment. Many people remain alcoholics because they refuse to admit their problem. The law of your subconscious mind, which hold you in bondage and inhibited your freedom of action, will give you freedom and happiness. It depends on how you use it. Your imagination took you to the bottle. Let it take you to freedom by imagining you are free. The real cause of alcoholism is negative and destructive thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart or his subconscious mind, so is he. When fear knocks at the door of your mind, let faith in God and all things good open the door. That's the end of this chapter. There's so much good stuff here, but if you don't address the self-sabotaging beliefs and behaviors in your subconscious mind, nothing will change for you. Don't be a listener, be a doer. Get the change you're seeking. The show notes contain links to lanesmithbrown.com, and for more helpful information on how to really apply the concepts in this book, check out my Unleash Your Life podcast. This is Lane Smith Brown signing off.